Lord, I thank you for the, Lord, worship through the instrument that we've heard tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help us, help our church. Lord, those that are watching at home tonight, help them not to watch distantly. Help them not to watch this distractedly. But Lord, help us to determinedly, Lord, listen to the preaching of your word and live for you. Help us not to grow lax during this time. Lord, I pray for those that are sick and afflicted, those dealing with loss and suffering. Lord, I pray that you'd touch them. Lord, I pray you'd make your presence known to them. Lord, I pray if there's somebody watching this video tonight that's not saved, Lord, I pray that you would touch their heart and prick their conscience and show them their need for a Savior. Lord, and that Savior is Jesus Christ, the only Savior. God, will be careful to give you the praise and the thanks and the glory. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of Revelation. Revelation and chapter number 17. The book of Revelation, chapter number 17. Make sure that you have your Bible with you tonight. If you're watching in your home, go grab your Bible. Find it and open it to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter number 17. I battled and wrestled whether I should just continue preaching through this book, and that's what God has laid on our hearts, and I don't want to preach anything but that. So I'll keep on preaching, and I pray that it would be a blessing and a help to you, and that you would find some application in your life. Revelation chapter number 17, I want to begin reading in verse number 1 of the chapter. We're going to read down through this chapter. Make sure you read along. Don't get distracted. Read with us. He said, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Notice verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. I appreciate you reading this amount of scripture with me tonight. As you can see, the subject of this chapter is a particular woman who is a symbol of Babylon. I want to preach on this thought tonight, and we will explain to the best of our ability this chapter on the rise and fall of Babylon. Brother Johnny, could you turn the mic down just a little bit here in the sanctuary? The rise and fall of Babylon. Father, Lord, I pray that you'd help me as I preach your word tonight. Lord, I pray you do what I can't do. Lord, I pray that you would help and give us good clarity. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to teach, Lord, with your spirit upon us. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach on the rise and the fall of Babylon. Before I dive into the text tonight, I want to ask you a question. Think about this. Is it possible to be a spiritual person without knowing God or being saved? Is it possible to be a spiritual person without having anything to do with God and without being saved? I would tell you that it is possible to be spiritual and yet not to be saved and know God. Is it possible to be religious without having anything to do with God? Is it possible to be religious without being saved? I would tell you that yes, it is absolutely possible to be spiritual and to be religious without being saved and without knowing God. I've had people to tell me that, yes, I'm a spiritual person. I am a religious person. But friend, if you are a Bible-believing Christian, then that should mean nothing to you if they do not profess Christ to be their Lord and their Savior. Why do I believe this? Because I know from the Bible that the devil himself is extremely spiritual and extremely religious. But the devil himself rejects Jesus Christ as his Lord. If you have religion and you have spirituality, but you do not profess Christ as your Lord, then all that you simply have is the devil's religion. In fact, I'll say this. There are only two religions in the world today. Either Christ's religion or the devil's religion. Either true religion, undefiled and pure, or false religion, defiled by the devil. Where am I going with this? I'll go so far as to say this. Not only is religion, apart from God, the devil's religion, but I want you to know that the devil is the author and he is the organizer of everything spiritual and religious that does not accept the one true God and the one true Christ. You got that? Understand this very fact. The devil is the author of every religious system that does not profess Christ. You say, where are you going with this? Here's where I'm going with this. I want you to understand that the place where the devil started and organized false religion was a city by the name of Babylon. In the very beginning of your Bible, in the days of old, in the book of Genesis in chapter 10. The devil started organized false religion in that city called Babylon. Now we know that the city of Babylon does not exist today geographically, but I want you to understand that the false religious influence of Babylon is still alive and well today. The same false religions and spirituality that the devil started and organized in the city of Babel is still influencing the world today. And what we just read in chapter 17 teaches us that one day the religious system that the devil started so many years ago in Babylon, it will one day flourish again under the reign of the Antichrist. The false religion that the devil started in Babylon in Genesis 10 is going to be the religion that the Antichrist is going to influence the entire world with. We also learn in these chapters that the city of Babylon will be rebuilt one day. But friend, we also learn in this chapter that this religious system is going to flourish and the city of Babylon is going to be rebuilt, but it will not last long because it will be destroyed in a moment by our great God. You say, what is going on here? I want you to understand this. The devil is the propagator of false religion. The devil started pagan false religion in the first book of your Bible, Genesis. With the rise of a city called Babylon, there came this false religion. This false religion has influenced the world all through the ages. And there's coming a day in the last book of your Bible when the city of Babylon's going to rise again and the religion of Babylon's going to rise with it, but it will fall a final time because God will destroy it. In Genesis, we find the rise of false religion, and in Revelation, we are going to find the final end of false religion in the world today. I want you to understand, remember, Revelation, the tribulation is all about separating the saved from the unsaved, the righteous from the wicked, the wheat from the tares, and separating true religion from false religion. Babylon here represents false religion. You say, why is that? Well, if you go back to your Bible in Genesis chapter 10, you'll read of a man named Nimrod. Nimrod, it says, was a mighty hunter before the Lord. He was a great leader, in other words. And by the way, it calling him a mighty hunter doesn't mean that he was good at hunting deer, but more like he was a great leader and a military person and a hunter. It says that he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That's used in the same way. In Genesis 13:13, it says that the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly, and their wickedness was before the Lord. In other words, their wickedness came before the Lord. It was so bad that the Lord took note of it upon the earth. That's what Nimrod was. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. He was such a strong leader and a rebellious man against God that he was taken note of by God. It says that Nimrod started a city in Genesis 11 by the name of Babel. They said, let us go to and make brick and mortar and slime, and let us build a tower whose top may reach to heaven, that we be not scattered on the earth. In other words, they weren't building a tower in hopes of reaching heaven. They weren't dumb. But they were building a temple, a ziggurat, as history calls it. They were building something, a monument to their false religion. They actually worshipped Nimrod as a god. You can read that in your history book. That is where false religion started. Never before that in the history of the world do you read of paganism. That is where it started, with a man by the name of Nimrod, and his followers began to worship him as if he was God, and they worshipped him even after he died. The devil used that to influence all of mankind when they were all in one place before God scattered them. And guess what? Paganism has flourished throughout the world today because of its start in Babylon. It was from the Tower of Babel that all the nations scattered out. But in Revelation, one day all the nations that scattered from Babylon are going to be gathered back together to it in this one great false religion. In chapter 17, what we just read, I want to do my best to explain. And I'll be honest, this isn't an easy chapter to explain because you must know a lot about the context of what's going on to understand it all. But we'll do our best tonight. John is going to be shown the rise of Babylon and the fall of Babylon one day. Look in verse 1 with me. It says, John says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me." Let me just stop right there and say this. I love how that verse is written. If you remember, if you listened last Wednesday night, we preached on chapter 16. You remember the seven vial judgments of God's wrath? God poured out all these vial judgments. There were seven angels that had these seven bowls full of God's wrath, and they poured them out one after another, and they poured them out without pause and without hesitation, and we saw the worst judgments that will ever be poured out upon earth. Now think about that. That was in the last chapter. No doubt the sights of these terrible judgments are still rolling around in John's head during this time. No doubt the sounds of these judgments are still ringing in John's ears. He had just seen them. But now in chapter 17 and verse 1, it says that one of those seven angels, one of those in the last chapter, I don't know which one, but it says that he walks up to John and he begins to speak to him. Can you imagine how John must have felt? Just seeing these seven angels pouring out these vials, and all of a sudden one of them begins to walk up to him and strike up a conversation. A man by the name of Pastor John Phillips, he described this scene best. I'm going to read to you what he wrote. He said about this verse, he said, "One of the seven angels, swinging an empty vial, strolls over to where John stands and begins to chat with him as if the whole thing were an interval in a football game." I find that amazing. It's as if this angel is a key player in the vile judgments, and God tells this angel, "Go over to John, and I want you to explain to him the next chapter." What an amazing thing, but keep looking with me. He says in verse 1, he says, "Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." What is about to happen is the angel is going to explain to John some things concerning Babylon and the fall of Babylon. I want to do my best to explain them. Look, number one, at the picture of Babylon. Number one, the picture of Babylon. If you're taking notes, write that down in verse 1. This chapter is clearly all about Babylon. You can see that in verse 5, Babylon the Great. It talks about her, but the angel paints a picture of Babylon here. Look in verse 1. "I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." He describes Babylon as a woman, but more than a woman, he describes her as an adulteress and a fornicating, sinful, lascivious woman. He describes her as a whore and a harlot. So I want you to understand, Babylon is the false religious system of the devil. And this angel pictures or symbolizes this system as a woman, and more particularly, a harlot or a whore. Look in verse 1, he describes it as a great whore. In verse 3, look, "He carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw" what? "A woman." Look in verse 4. "And the" what? "Woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet." And then look there in verse 6. "And I saw" the what? "Woman." Babylon is described as a woman in this chapter. This is the picture. Now you say, "Revis, if we're talking about Babylon, we're talking about false religion, why in the world would God paint a picture of that religion through a woman? Why would he symbolize it as a woman?" Well, I can tell you this. Probably the same reason that God symbolizes the church as a woman as well. Now think with me. You've got to be thinking about what we're talking about here. What is one of the titles of the church? We are the bride of Christ, right? In Revelation 19, after the marriage supper of the Lamb, the church is not only the bride of Christ, but we are become the wife of Christ, the Lamb's wife. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says that he wants to present the church unto Jesus as a chaste virgin. So understand something with me, and it's going to help us understand this chapter. The church, God, throughout Scripture, pictures the church as a woman. The church is true religion, pure religion, God's religion, Christ's religion, and it's pictured as a woman. Babylon is exactly opposite. It's the false church. It is false religion. It's not God's religion. It's the devil's religion. And it is also pictured as a woman. So what is the difference? There's a great difference. The church is pictured as a bride. The system of Babylon is pictured as a harlot. The church is pictured not only as a bride, but as I've said, it's pictured as the lamb's wife. She, the harlot, is pictured also as a whore. And then also, as we said, the church will be presented to Christ as a chaste virgin. But the Babylonian false religion is clearly not presented as a chaste virgin, but as a fornicating woman. Also, there's one last contrast. The church will be arrayed in white through the blood of the Lamb. But this woman is not arrayed in white. She is arrayed in scarlet because her sins are as scarlet and purple and gold. So I want you to understand something. What we are finding here is a contrast. The entire Bible, we read of the church as a woman, as the bride of Christ, the wife of Christ, the wife of the Lamb, the chaste virgin. And Babylon, here we're reading about, the false religion of the devil, is pictured as a harlot and a whore, and one that has a cup full of fornication. What is going on here? Friend, the devil is the greatest counterfeiter, is he not? The devil takes everything that God does and God is and God has, and he counterfeits that with what he tries to be and what he has. Do you remember a few chapters back in chapter 12, we talked about how the devil will counterfeit the Trinity, how the devil will try to be like God the Father. He'll have the Antichrist who will counterfeit Jesus and the false prophet that will counterfeit the Holy Spirit. The devil is trying to mimic God. He is mimicking God here. That's why the devil created false religion, because God has his true religion, so the devil has his false religion. Christ has his bride, and so the Antichrist will have his bride, his woman, if you will. Christ has the true church. The Antichrist will have the false church. Do you see what is being described here? I have a man that I spoke to and was witnessing to, and he said, "Revis, I don't understand." He said, "I feel that paganism has been around longer than Christianity. So how can you be a Christian if paganism has been around longer than Christianity?" And my answer to that is this: paganism has been around as long as sin has been around. Because if men will not worship the one true God, they will worship another god. And the devil wants to slip man a counterfeit. He doesn't mind if you worship, or if you have religion, or if you're spiritual, just so long as you do not have the right religion that is found in Christ. And so the devil has founded this religion through Babylon. Babylon is the code word, if you will, for the false religion of the devil. You say, "Revis, I don't understand that. Why would he use a city to represent a religion?" I'll tell you why. Because God uses a city to represent the church. Look with me in your Bibles in Revelation in chapter number 21. Turn over just a few chapters. Revelation 21. I want you to look down in verse number 9 of Revelation 21. He says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues." There's another angel. "And talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride." Who's that? The church, the Lamb's wife. So what is he showing John here? the church. Now look in the next verse, read with me. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me what? That great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Why does Babylon represent the false religion of the devil? Because he's counterfeiting God. God represents the church and the holy Jerusalem. He said, let me show you the bride of Christ. He didn't show him a woman. He showed him a city that represents the church, holy Jerusalem. And so when we see the church, we see holy Jerusalem in the Bible. When we see the devil's false religion, we see Babylon. Anytime that you find the New Jerusalem or the Holy Jerusalem in the Bible, you can be sure that it is a symbol of the church. And anytime you find Babylon in the Bible, you can be sure that it is a picture or a symbol of the influence of the devil and his false religion. I hope that makes sense tonight. Look right back with me, chapter 17 and verse 5. 17 verse 5, turn with me. He says in 17 verse 5 that this woman has a name on her forehead. It says upon her forehead was a name written. What does it say? What's the first word? Mystery. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Why is she called a mystery here? I'll tell you why. Because once again, the devil is counterfeiting God. God has his church. The devil has his church. God has his bride. The devil has his harlot, his system, his religion. The church is referred to as a city, the Holy Jerusalem. Babylon is referred to as a city. But also, the church is referred to many times in the Bible as a mystery. If you remember, in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Colossians, Paul talks about the mystery of the church that has been hid from generations before, but now it is made manifest unto the world. And he talks about the relationship of the church with Christ. The church for many years was a mystery. The church was a mystery to Israel. They didn't understand the church, the bride of Christ. But now that mystery is made known. Just as the church is and was a mystery, the devil is working out his false church, which is also a mystery. You say, where do you get that? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, Paul says that the mystery of iniquity, of sin, doth already work. In other words, the false religion and church of Babylon, of the devil, is a mystery right now that's at work in the world today. But there's coming a day in the tribulation that the mystery of Babylon is going to be revealed to the earth. A counterfeit of the true church and the mystery that has already been made known unto the earth. I hope that makes sense tonight, the picture that this angel is painting of Babylon. Babylon represents false religion, the devil's religion, the devil's church, the false church. Once you look secondly with me, he not only shows a picture of Babylon, the woman. Look in verse number 1, he shows the power of Babylon. It not only says that she is the great whore, but that she sitteth upon many waters. What does that mean? Well, we're actually told. Look in verse 15. Look in your chapter, verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. In other words, this woman represents Babylon, the religion of the devil, the pagan religion of the devil. And it says that this woman is sitting upon many waters. The waters represent the whole world. They represent all the nations. What he's saying is that the false religion of the devil has power over the entire earth. Is that not true today? That the paganism of the devil has great roots in the world today. We live in a nation that has primarily been Christian for most of its life. which is a blessing from God, but we're getting to a place where we're going to be like most of the other nations, where America is mainly a pagan, false religion nation. And what that is the influence of Babylon, the devil's false religion. The devil's false religion has great power in the world today because he's blinded the minds of them which believe not. And one day, Babylon is going to have power like it's never had before in the tribulation. So we see its power. It's sitting upon many waters. Then look in verse number 2 at the persuasion of Babylon. It says that with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. In other words, this Babylon, this religious system, this devil's false religion has not only much power over the earth, but persuasion. All the kings of the earth and all the nations, they have dabbled in it. They have made themselves drunk with her fornication. They are guilty of joining with her. And friend, as I've already said, that's true today. We see that happening in America. We see our leaders joining hands with false religion and paganism and wickedness today. We see the persuasion of Babylon. Look with me in verse number 4. We find the picture of Babylon. She's pictured as a woman, a whore, a harlot. We find the power of her. She's over all the waters. The persuasion of her. She's seduced the kings of the earth to commit fornication with her. Then look in verse 3. We find the partner of Babylon. It says, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman. Who's the woman? Babylon, right? I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. So now we find a second person. We find not only a woman, but we find this woman, Babylon, is sitting on a beast. Not only any beast, but it says that this beast is full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, if you've paid attention good as we preach the Revelation, if you've taken notes, that probably rings a bell. This beast is none other than the Antichrist. Look back in Revelation 13 with me. Revelation 13 and verse 1. Revelation 13 and verse number 1. What does it say? And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The beast in Revelation is a picture of the Antichrist. So I want you to understand here, we find not only this woman, which is Babylon, false religion, the devil's religion, but it says she is riding on the beast. The beast is carrying her. So we find a partnership. Babylon has partnered up with the Antichrist. This is teaching us how it's going to work out in the tribulation. In the tribulation, the church is going to be raptured up. True religion will be raptured up, the true church. And since the true church is not around, you better believe that the devil's going to set up his false church. It's going to have power like it never has before. By the way, the biggest thing blocking the devil's religion today is the church. And when we're taken up out of the way, the Babylonian religion is going to flourish, but it will flourish because of the Antichrist. He will carry the woman on his back. Now, I want you to remember with me, this is going to get a little bit in depth. I don't want to lose you, but I want you to remember. The 7 heads of this beast, the Antichrist, if you remember, it represents his kingdom. Look with me in this chapter in verse number 15, I believe it is. Let me check. Look here. Excuse me, look in verse 9. He says, here is the mind which hath wisdom. Remember, the beast has 7 heads. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. If you remember in Revelation 13, we talked about this. In history, how many remember learning about a city that was built upon seven hills. That city was Rome. Remember that the Antichrist is going to revive the old Roman Empire. We've talked about this. If you want to study more, go back and listen to that. The Antichrist is going to be the ruler of a revived Roman Empire. The seven heads represent the seven mountains or the seven hills of Rome. He has 10 horns, which represent the 10 kingdoms that will unite around him to form the Roman Empire. They are the 10 toes on Daniel's statue, and most likely will be the confederated Europe, 10 nations out of Europe. Probably it very well could be. You say, what are you getting at here? In other words, I want you to understand that Babylon is going to unite with Rome. Now, if you study history, if you have in high school, you've heard the word Babylon, you've heard the word Rome. You say, Revis, never have these nations ruled together. How could they have this partnership? Remember, Babylon represents a religious system. Rome is a political system. It is the political system that the beast will rule with. What is going to happen is the Antichrist, the devil's Superman, if you will, is going to rule politically through Rome, but he is going to rule religiously through Babylon. In other words, evil religion is going to unite with wicked politics. That's about what we're getting in our nation today, by the way. But that's what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to take wicked religion of Babylon, and he's going to take the evil political system of Rome and unite them. And there's going to be a marriage of church and state. Not the true church, but the false church of Babylon. It is going to be married. Babylon will be joined with Rome. Now you say, Revis, where and how do you believe that this is going to happen? I believe that this is going to happen because we've already seen this happen many times in history. In fact, in history, we've already seen Babylon united with Rome. And whether you know it or not, you actually know about this. Let me do some explaining tonight. Let's go back to the very beginning of Babylon. Genesis chapter number 10. Remember, a man by the name of Nimrod founded Babylon. You can read in history that Nimrod was worshipped as a god. After he died, they deified him, they worshipped him. That has to do with why they built the Tower of Babel. And if you read, they began to not only worship him, but he had a wife by the name of Semiramis. As history tells us, and you can study this, Nimrod died. He was killed. They worshipped him even after he died, and they lamented for him 40 days. During that time, his wife Semiramis, she proclaimed that somehow miraculously he had given her a son after he died, which, by the way, is bull hockey. It was a lie. But they began to believe that. They believed that she had miraculously conceived a son by him. And she did have a son, not by him, but she said it was. And her son's name was Tammuz. They began to worship not only Nimrod, but they began to worship his wife, Semiramis. They called her the Queen of Heaven. And they began to worship her son by the name of Tammuz. We learn from history, it goes in their religion, this religion of Babylon, that around 20 years old, Tammuz died. He was killed by a wild boar. And in their religion, it says that Tammuz, after 3 days, was raised again. Which, by the way, nobody has been raised again after 3 days but Jesus Christ. This was the devil counterfeiting this. But they worshipped Semiramis, the mom, as the Queen of Heaven, and they worshipped Tammuz. You say, where are you getting this? This is a factual thing. Let me continue and tell you a little bit more about this. They began to worship her as the Queen of Heaven and her son. And this worship was not only in Babylon, but they worshipped this same system They worshiped this in Egypt. They had this religion not only in Egypt, but in Assyria. They had this religion in Phoenicia. They had this religion later on in Greece. And they had this religion later on in Rome. In Babylon, her name was Semiramis, and her son was Tammuz. In Assyria, her name was Ishtar, and her son was Tammuz. In Phoenicia, her name was Astarte, and her son's name was Baal. Everybody remember Baal from your Old Testament? That is the same religious system that was started in Babylon. And even the Israelites worship Baal. That was the devil's false religion and counterfeit. In Egypt, her name was Isis, and Tammuz, his name was Osiris. In Greece, her name was Aphrodite, and her son's name was Eros. And you'll know these names. In Rome, her name was Venus, and her son's name was Cupid. All of this stems back to the original false religion of Babylon. You say, Revis, I think you're making this up. Turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 44. Everybody turn there. Jeremiah chapter number 44. That is right before the book of Isaiah. Or actually right after it, excuse me. Jeremiah chapter 44. I want you to look in verse number 15. Jeremiah was preaching in a great time of paganism. Look in verse 15. He says, "Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee." Notice this. "But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto" who? Look with me. "The Queen of Heaven." That was that lady, Semiramis, that they worshiped. That was the false religion of Babylon. And that religion was still around during the time of Jeremiah. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter number 8. Everybody turn with me. Ezekiel chapter number 8. You'll find Jeremiah, then Lamentations, then Ezekiel. Look with me in verse number 8, or chapter number 8, in verse 13. Ezekiel has a vision of all of the wickedness that the Israelites were in during that time. And he is taken by the Lord in a vision to the temple in Jerusalem. And he says, "He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do." Hey, by the way, what's the title of Babylon in Revelation 17? Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations. He says, "Thou shalt see greater abominations that they do." Look in verse 14 of Ezekiel 8. "Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for" who? Tammuz. That is the sun in the Babylonian religion. Remember, they worshiped Nimrod. They worshiped Semiramis as the queen of heaven. And they worshiped Tammuz. They believed he was a god. They believed that he died and was resurrected. In this religion, and you can study this out, they worshiped Semiramis and Tammuz in many ways. They used holy water. They had their own order of priests and cardinals. They believed in celibacy of the priests. They couldn't marry. They had what they called Vestal virgins, women devoted to these Babylonian gods that could not marry, sort of like nuns. They also had rosary beads. And their leader, sort of like a pope, was called Pontifex Maximus, was the title of their leader of their religion. And in order to be a part of their religion, you must start out by professing your sins to a priest of the Babylonian religion. You can go back, if you don't believe me, and study all this yourself. They also wept and had 40 days of fasting, sort of like Lent, for the death of Nimrod. They celebrated Ishtar, sounds a lot like Easter, where they used eggs to celebrate the newness of life in Tammuz. You can go on and on. Here's what I'm getting at. This was the Babylonian religion that the devil orchestrated. Later on, Babylon fell. But the religion of Babylon continued. All of these things, the weeping for Tammuz, the Queen of Heaven, this same religion continued and was accepted in other nations, and later on, it was accepted by Rome. That came on the scene after the church formed. Now, here's where I want you to understand this. In AD 386, there came an emperor by the name of Constantine. And if you remember, Constantine wanted to take the true church and he wanted to mix it with all the paganism of Rome. Guess what the paganism of Rome was? The Babylonian religion with all of its festivals and holidays and all of its holy waters and sprinklings and fastings and prayer beads and all these things and pagan things. And he mixed it together. And do you know what that formed? The Roman Catholic Church. All they did was change things around to fit what they thought would be Christian. Pagan temples became Christian churches. Pagan gods became Christian saints. Pagan festivals became Christian feasts. The Queen of Heaven became the Virgin Mary. They worshiped her, and they still do. The Vestal Virgins became nuns. The Babylonian priests became Christian priests. All of these things melted together, and you know what it formed? It formed the false church. And wouldn't you believe that the Pope became the label of Pontifex Maximus, which is a title carried directly from the Babylonian religion? What am I getting at here? I'll be very clear. I'm not saying that there are people in the Roman Catholic Church that aren't saved. I believe anybody that comes unto Christ can be saved. But the system of the Roman Catholic Church is the false church melted with the Babylonian religion of the devil. And the devil has used that as his false church for thousands of years. You say, how could the devil be in that? Because the Roman Catholic Church has been used to kill over 50 million Christians in the course of history. I want you to look back with me in Revelation 17. Please follow. Revelation chapter 17. Verse number 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Friend, I believe that this refers to the future of it. There is coming a day when she will be drunk with the blood of the saints. But the Roman Catholic Church, this Babylonian religion, has already been drunk with the blood of the saints for many thousands of years. And John marveled at that. Do you understand now how Babylon could have been married to Rome? How it will be joined together, religion with politics? Because that's already happened for many thousands of years. Babylon, Catholic Church, it was ruling alongside Rome and had that equal amount of power. Rome carried the church, and the Antichrist will carry the false church again one day. You know what? The Roman Catholic Church does not have the influence that it used to have. In fact, it doesn't have a very big stronghold in America today. But did you know that it is still the richest religious organization in the world today? And it is far richer than any multinational corporation. Did you know that the worth of The Roman Catholic Church is over $5 trillion, and it is the only religious organization that has its own independent country. Still today in Rome, the Vatican. It's rich. What are you getting at, Revis? Look with me in verse number 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. In other words, she is rich. $42 billion is the worth of the Catholic Church in America alone. What am I getting at? I'm seeing a parallel here. The Babylonian religion, this woman, we find how she will rule and she will reign in the tribulation. But I want to tell you one more thing about her. Notice the picture of this Babylon is a woman. She's pictured as a woman. Notice not only her picture, but her power. She's upon many nations. And by the way, she's like that today. Not only her power, but her persuasion. She seduced the kings of the earth. Not only her persuasion, but her prestige. She's arrayed in purple, scarlet. She's rich. Not only her prestige, but her persecution. She persecutes the saints. But then look lastly, her punishment. God has had it long enough with false religion and wicked religion. And there is coming a day that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, God is going to cause the full and final fall of Babylon. There is coming a day when there will be no more false religion. There will be no more Roman religion. There'll be no Babylonian religion. There'll be no pagan religion. There'll be no Muslim religion. There'll be no Buddha religion, no Hindu religion. There will be no religion other than the one true living God. Babylon has risen. Babylon will fall. How is it going to happen? God is going to cause these 10 kings of Rome to turn on the woman. That's happened sort of before. We've seen how Rome separated itself from the Catholic Church during the Protestant era and turned on the Catholic Church. And one day that's going to happen. The Antichrist is going to turn on the church and he's going to ruin her. Look in verse number 16. The 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, the Babylonian religion, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. She's going to meet her match. She's going to fall. Friend, I've got news for you. If you're dabbling in religion apart from Christ, then you're dabbling in something that is doomed. You're dabbling with spiritualism and mysticism and all these wicked, dark things, astrology and the study of the stars and all these, the worship and all these things. That is the devil's religion. And it's going to fall one day. Friend, the cup may look golden, but on the inside it's filthiness. I encourage you, there's only one religion worth being a part of. In the book of James, he calls it pure, unspotted religion. And friend, it's only pure because of the blood of Christ. I've got news for you. The devil's church was going to fall. It won't last. But Christ's church is not going down, it's going up. I thank God I'm a part of the old gospel ship of Zion. I don't have to face the wrath of God. I don't have to drink the cup of abominations and be filthied with Babylon, but I can be set apart, made clean by the blood of Christ, a part of the church, the bride of Christ, a chaste virgin, the wife of the Lamb. Not Babylon. Friend, you're either a part of one or the other. Babylon, or the Holy Jerusalem, the devil's religion or God's religion. It's one or the other tonight. Are you saved or are you not? I'm done. I pray that it's made sense for you tonight. Friend, thank God if you are saved. And tell others. Witness to them. Let them know what they are missing out on. We're going to pray. We'll be done tonight. I want to ask you, would you do what God puts on your heart? Make sure you're right with Him. Do you know that you're saved? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of coming before you in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd teach what we can't teach and preach to the hearts that we can't preach to and help the minds and give them understanding that we just don't have the ability to do that. Lord, would you make clear your word? God, we know that it's going to prosper because it's your word. So God, let it prosper. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank you for tuning in tonight. We are praying about the services Sunday as of what God wants us to do. As I've said, the 14-day mark will be just barely at the 14-day mark Sunday. But keep in mind that this sickness can spread within families, and we don't want to put people at risk this Sunday. So we're going to pray and talk about whether we need to have it in person or live stream this Sunday. And our Mother's Day tea Saturday has been postponed. We hope to do that just at a later time whenever we're ready to do that. And if we don't see you before then, we pray that you have a great Mother's Day. Don't forget that is this weekend. And God bless you, and may you have a good rest of your week. Thank you.